Hey everybody, this is Will, and we want to say thank you for listening. You might know that this episode appears to be a week late. We actually decided not to put the episode out last week that we recorded, mainly because we knew we were going to take this week and next week off. So we will be back in 2 weeks. This episode was actually recorded last Monday, so this is coming out, I do believe, on the 12th. So this was obviously recorded last on the 7th. So hope you guys dig it. Let us know what you think. Merry Christmas, since we won't talk to you before the holidays. And we will be back between Christmas and New Year's with the second half of our year in review. And now, episode 83. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, it's almost Christmas time, and hey, we're taking next week off, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you,
Happy Christmas, Hana Quantica. Make sure I cover all my bases.
Yes, exactly. That's the way to do it. And, you know, so let's get this road on the show here. All right, before we get things going tonight, we want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast, and I think we're celebrating our one-year anniversary with them, is sponsored by the Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge someday if COVID ever decides to take a hike or we vanquish it with a vaccine, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have retail locations now in both Catskill, New York. I'm going to take that again. We have retail locations now in both Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place in gaming. Now, they have a great website. You cannot go wrong there. You can find them online at KGS Online. That's KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. Or, of course, visit their retail locations because that's always good as well. They've got, you know, they've got a lot of COVID I don't want to say preparations, but
precautions,
you know, they've
safety,
got a pretty
safety guideline stuff, Matt,
yeah.
You know.
Precautions.
Yeah, precautions.
That was what I was looking for, precautions. They have a lot of COVID precautions in place, so you want to check those out in either Poughkeepsie or Catskill, because, again, it's that time of year. Feel free to buy me anything. And don't forget, guys, if you do use the online store, you get a 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers2020 at checkout.
You actually owe me a booster pack, sir.
I probably don't.
Because didn't you say that?
Yeah, I'll give it to you when I see you next time, which should be sometime in about 2022.
Say, yeah, about that.
We also want to take a second to recognize our Planeswalker patrons. Brian, David, Jonathan, Johnny, Bell, Anthony, Steve, Mark, George, Josh, Zach, Ian, and Randy. Guys, these are the people that really make this show run. We couldn't do it without them. We thank you guys so much for everything you do for us. I just actually, this past week, I put up a free Patreon episode. We do have the weekly Ride Home with Will. I actually went ahead and put that in our podcast feed because it was actually recommending other podcasts that are out there, and I thought that would be fun to do. Plus, it was a good way to let the other podcasts that I recommended know that we did it. So that was a two-folder there. So you want to check it out. Listen, we have a lot of other great bonuses. We are going to get the Caldime win a box going. We're going to have our Planeswalker patron meeting probably in the first week of January so we can nail that out and figure out what we're going to do. So if you want to get in on that, which is great, we do a quarterly call with all the patrons where we kind of just talk about he crawled up my leg.
Uh-huh.
I have a kitten for those of you not watching at home, and he decided this was a great time to crawl up my leg. So if you want to find out more, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. And you know what? I didn't think we'd be using this so soon, but we've already derailed the show.
But you know, it's for a cat, so it's totally fine.
Well, he is cute. Look at him. I mean, this is Scooter. Hi, Scooter. Say hello, Scooter. Oh, over here.
He's got little pink toe beans.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. And for those of you not watching the feed, I am not going to repeat what Steve said in
the
chat.
Can't you just delete it from the mods? Can't the mods just nuke that?
Oh, this is just not right. All right. So I also want to remind you guys, we are a top 25 MTG podcast on FeedSpot, which is a, it's kind of like an aggregator. And hey, I'm cool with any list we make. So you go to blog.feedspot.com/magic_the_gathering_podcast. You know what? I really should put like feedspot.planestalkerspodcast.com and just route it there, because that's just annoying. magic_the_gathering_podcast. So check it out. Aramis, how the heck are you?
You know, doing good, doing good. I've gotten together with the guys from our sister podcast, Commander Craft MTG. And we've played a bunch of Commander games over the last few days.
That's true. We did need to... I forgot to give them the commercial for this week,
So, you know, that was a ton of fun. Fired off a draft this morning, 7-2'd. It was a pretty ridiculous black-green Zendikar deck. Just removal for days. It was great. You know, just kind of hanging in there until the holidays get here and we can just, you know, start getting hyped for Kaldheim previews. That's really the big thing on my agenda right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool with that too, actually. I'm very excited about Kaldheim previews. And, you know, we had a pretty good weekend. We got the house set up for Christmas. We got the tree up. We went looking at lights. So we did kind of like the family thing, which was nice. It was a kid weekend. No kids this weekend, which is good because I leave town next week to go to, of all places, New Jersey, because, yeah.
But, you voluntarily going on the turnpike.
Yep. I got to tell you, I'm kind of getting a little bit excited. Tomorrow is my last kind of full day. Like, Wednesday's my last day, but you know you always leave early on your last day. tomorrow's my last full day at my current gig. And, you know, I've loved that job, but, I mean, it's, you know, this is exciting, too, to kind of try something new and see where things go. So I'm excited for that. And Nick's all upset that I'm leaving him. Yes, but you'll have Raymond and Justin, Nick, so. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I've been doing tonight. Oh, it's untap, and it's hard to do because I'm going to have to do this, like, one-handed because, again, kitty. All right, I am drinking tonight Victory's Golden Monkey.
Wait,
stuff
what?
Is really, really. Yeah, it's called Golden Monkey.
I'm not even.
And right now, I'm spanking my monkey.
Okay, see you guys next week. It's a podcast. Bye. I'm just going to go over here. Bye.
You know, we're all done.
All right, Aramis is left. This is great. So, I need a co-host. Nick, get on. No. Oh, let me drink this. I forgot. This is really good. It's got a different taste to it. It's got this kind of spice. It's not like an IPA. It's actually a triple ale with added spice, is what they say.
Oh, okay. I walk back into that.
So, yeah. Yeah. So we have a pretty good show tonight. Let's get into the upkeep. And the upkeep's going to be interesting. I know it seems early, but here's the thing. We're taking next week off. And then we're going to take probably at least one more week off before the new year. Whether it's going to be the 21st or the 28th, I'm not sure yet. It might be the 21st just because of Christmas and getting things ready. And then try to do something between Christmas and New Year seems a lot easier. So we might be taking the next 2 weeks off as far as the podcast goes. We are going to plan to do the playcast this week and next week. You know, so we're going to try to keep the playcast going as much as possible, which is our Wednesday show. But really, there's so little going on that, you know, not that we're scraping the bowl for content, but we want to get started with our year in review, basically. So we're going to spend part one of our year in review. As you guys might remember, we like to do two parts. Part one is kind of where we talk about the sets that came out and more of the cards and the game itself. And then part two is where we kind of talk about the news around it. So obviously part two, we'll talk about the bannings. We'll talk about, you know, the Oko ban that happened just at the start of last year and things like that. So, you know, and what the pandemic did. And we'll talk about the game stores and, you know, the interviews we had this year and stuff. So that's going to be, tonight is pretty much where we're going to be just talking mainly about product and what came out. Combat tonight, if we can, is going to be, you know, do we feel that there's too much now? Have they, has Wizards gone the whole other way? And then in main two, we're going to talk about the state of Standard, which is more, we're not going to really break down any lists. We're going to talk about the ZR Championship that happened over the weekend. We're going to talk about who won, who came in second, because they were amazing. You know, just stuff like that. Decks that looked interesting. And then we'll, you know, maybe break down a little bit of Commander Legends if there's time. But, I mean, I feel like we've kind of beat that dead horse into the ground. So there's another dead horse. And there's a cat by my foot. And if he crawls up...
Oh, you know he's going to.
Oh, I do, too. He's so cute, though. Oh, he walked away. Okay. I don't know where he is now. Oh, I rolled over.
Thank you, Dad.
All right, so let's get into main phase here, and let's get this going.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. Well, like I said earlier, we want to talk about 2020 in review as far as product goes. This was a strange year. It started off. We were all excited to get something other than Eldraine, obviously. Yeah. And we kind of had high hopes. And then, you know, obviously things got derailed in March when the pandemic hit and it changed pretty much everything. I mean, events went away pretty much and they changed to all online. And things of that nature, they, you know, but Wizards kind of went like crazy this year, I think. If you think about it, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And 12 with the Commanders, 13, 14, 15. There were 15 supplemental sets between Commander, Double Masters, and, you know, the four...
Ah! There's a cat.
He got me. And the four Standard sets.
So that doesn't even count Secret Lair.
Oh! We're not even counting Secret Lair yet. Yeah, thank you.
Ah! Oh, he's attacking your court. This is awesome.
Yeah, if you're not watching the feeds, folks, go home and watch the feeds. We keep them up on Twitch and everything. So,
cat's like dangly thing. Must attack. Must kill.
Scooter. Bastard.
Oh God. This is gonna go very poorly very fast. But I'm having fun.
We're going off the rails, folks. That's why we downloaded this effect. So. You know what? I need to put a horn in.
Yeah, there needs to be a train horn.
That'll hit it. That'll
otherwise,
hit it.
It's just loud. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the Plate Stalkers podcast with your hosts, Will, Aramis, and Scooter.
And Scooter. Scooter's mostly in charge. So why don't I take over with
thank Christ.
Some of these set reviews here. So, you know, we kicked the year off with Theros Beyond Death. Which was released.
Which was a revisit of Theros.
We went back to Theros.
And I still stand behind that. I actually think they could do that for the first set like they did this year. I actually prefer that better. But we can talk about that when we get to Zendikar Rising. But I forgot that Throne was first. So, but go on. Sorry.
That's fine. So, yeah. Theros Beyond Death, it was towards the end of January that this was released. And who would have thought this was going to be the last regular release of a set that we could play in paper until...
Yeah, that was our last
pre-release. This was the set awesome in the before pre-release. Times. They were, you know...
Before the Dark Times.
Yeah, before the Dark Times. Before and the Empire. There were a lot of very interesting cards that were released in this set, a lot of powerful mechanics. But honestly, I mean, if you're talking about Theros Beyond Death, you have to talk about Uro. That was the card that dominated... once Oko and all them went away, this card was everywhere in Standard, continues to be everywhere in Historic and other formats, because it's one of the better cards they've ever printed. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
Depends on how you want to describe better.
Well, it's I mean, it's
powerful. It's I'll say powerful.
Power level, just on power level. Like, I'm not saying best is in, you know, great design and everything else. I'm just saying power. And just
I feel like it was a pretty crappy design.
And just like the ubiquity in the decks that used it was if you're playing green and blue, you're playing Uro.
Well, I mean, it warped.
It warped the format. You know, it was, and I'm glad that it was banned.
Made ramp Yeah, it made Ramp go crazy. I mean, there were other cards that made Ramp
go crazy. Yeah, but this one was just... The problem with this card is, like I was always saying, is like, yes, you couldn't kill it, but it comes back. And it always gives you a large amount of value when it comes in, because you're drawing a card, you're gaining life. If it's a land, you're ramping as well. And it doesn't really stay dead unless you have Graveyard Hate, which nobody really could play because it, you know, you're taking up necessary spots to fight everything else that Ramp was trying to do.
And if I remember, there wasn't a ton of Graveyard Hate.
There was some. Just, yeah, not a lot. And like I said, it wasn't really all that good. No. But, I mean, the set had a lot of really interesting cards for Standard and for other formats, too. I mean, Ashiok Nightmare Muse was a good Planeswalker for Control Shell. Never really took off because, you know, Ramp. You know, Athreos Shroudveiled is one of my favorite commanders now. Had a limited all-star Kiora, Best the Sea God. Uro's brother, Kroxa, has seen some play now that Uro has left the battlefield in that respect.
Well, and Theros brought us companions.
That was Ikoria.
Oh, it was Ikoria, right?
But you know, remember Dream Trawler was a big star for a little while.
I'm
hoping maybe that makes a bit of a comeback before it rotates out, because it is a very, very good card.
We'll talk about that in main. I'm sorry, we'll talk about that in main too. But I mean, you know, I mean, Esper is back. It's around.
I mean, like, what I'll say about Theros is that it was a powerful set. The broken cards were broken, like, beyond belief. But it definitely was a step back from Eldraine. Saffron Olive had posted a tweet, I believe either today or yesterday, saying how it's funny how the top six cards of Eldraine have all been banned, but, like, the 7th through 10th card are still the most played cards in Standard as far as power level.
Oh, Eldraine was the start... The Eldraine was the end of last year. I mean, we can kind of touch on that. Eldraine was busted. Like, it Oko, Fires of Invention, it was busted. Yeah. Like, broken sideways. Mm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there were cards in Theros that have made impacts in the older formats. You know, like the aforementioned Uro, Underworld Breach has been really good. Thassa's Oracle was big in Pioneer. You know, the Scrylands were always good to have back. So, you know, there are a lot of good pieces that came in with this set. But yeah, really, it really did take a step back from where we were with Eldraine. So, but you know, overall, I was pretty happy with it. I mean, they sort of, I don't know what I was trying to say here. It felt more balanced in a weird sense. You know, outlier cards aside, it felt a little more balanced than Eldraine did.
I don't know if I could say balanced. I could say that it lent some stability to the format that it needed because of Eldraine. But I don't know about balance, because the good cards were overpoweringly good.
Yeah. But that,
and the rest of the set was kind of...
But that's what I mean. Is that the good cards were absurd, and the rest of the set was decent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if they had done anything other than... what the hell's the mechanic that Crocs and Nero use? Escape, yeah. If it wasn't for the escape mechanic, then the enchantment mechanics of Theros would have... You know, you'd see a lot more enchantment decks and a lot more stuff like that. Oh, Pam. Look at Pam typing her husband's handsome. You don't hear that too often from other people.
I tell you.
She tells me.
Well, that's because, you know, she likes to throw things at you.
Yeah, she throws things at me. On the podcast, she throws things. That's what she does. She throws things and threatens me and... Ow! Oh! That's just... Thank you.
I can safely say my wife has never thrown anything at me.
Yeah. You done that? That's because you nope. Duck too fast. So, in any event, jeepers. Ow, bitey. Bite, yeah. Bite.
Ow. I think Scooter's on her side.
Bite. Scooter is on her side. Scooter loves her. Like, she spends all day with the little lady. He's going to go after my... Oh, he spotted the wire. Here it goes. There it is. So anyway, I kind of wish that they didn't put the escape mechanic in, because I would have liked to have seen some of the other, like, the gods, you know?
Well, Thassa saw some play, and Heliod saw some play.
Yeah, I just would have liked to see more of them. It feels like those should have been more, you know? Like, I mean, they're such big names, and their original runs have always, I mean, they've been warping on their own, and it's just kind of,
Well, and it's hard too with the gods, you know, because if you make them too powerful, then you're, you know, it's Oro all over again. And I mean, there was apparently a story with this set. I mean, they kind of really shied away from that after War of the Spark. I mean, Eldraine had a bit of a story, but Theros didn't even have a book.
No, I don't think so. But I think that's because they realized that their authors suck.
So, you know,
because people that get the book say all the time how much the authors suck.
Well, yeah, that's. I mean, their web content was very good, but the books themselves definitely left something to be desired.
Yeah.
But, you know, I enjoyed the set overall. But, you know, we were with that for about 2 months, and we had our little tournament at Kerwin's that we called, and then the following week, the world ended.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's something we're definitely going to talk about when it comes to tournament play and stuff.
Can't not.
When we're next on the air.
You can't not talk about it.
Yeah, that'll be like next. That'll be like in 2 or 3 weeks, whenever we go live again. Because that's what, you know, that's where the part two of this is going to deal with, you know, the world of Magic beyond the cards. But, I mean, yeah, we obviously still have to talk about it because it definitely colored Ikoria, which is the next set that came out.
Yeah. Ikoria was delayed because of it.
The pre-release, I mean, they had no idea what they were going to do with that set. It wasn't late, right? They didn't push it.
Ikoria, I think, was delayed slightly.
Okay. But, I mean, there was no pre-release.
Yeah, it was delayed a month.
We haven't seen a pre-release.
That's right. We got it in May.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We did. We got it in May. It was the first time that pre-release, you know, happened, and I'm trying to make it so that if the cat comes up here again, I don't have to deal with it. That was the first time that, you know, pre-release didn't happen in a long time, and I don't know. I think in some regards, the way the current culture is now, it's like I feel less engaged in some regards because of no pre-release events and no events in general.
I think that is a good point. I mean, I think we touched on this last week. I mean, in how we haven't really been playing a lot of Standard, and obviously, we're a Standard podcast, so that's sort of what we're all about. And I mean, I think part of the problem is that not having the person-to-person interaction, it takes away a lot of the substance of the game. Even though, you know, you're doing the exact same thing on Arena that you're doing at, you know, your local game store for Friday Night Magic back in the before times, but there's something missing, and it's not that it's not fun. It's just not as fun. It seems like more of a chore, it's a grind.
Yeah, and I think part of that has to do with Arena and the ladder.
Yeah.
Like, there's not as much casual, like, FNM events aside that they do on Arena, there's not as much casual play. Like, we were going to Kerwin's for a while there every other week. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were playing in Friday Night Magic. We were getting a lot of Standard play in. We were getting, and it did. It kind of encouraged us to play better decks and to get better in it. Arena sometimes feels like a grind, and sometimes it feels like a grind where you're drawing dead half the time. Like, sometimes you get the feeling like Arena's like, I'm going to match you up against the worst possible deck for your deck because I want it, you know, And so you're constantly, not only are you grinding, you're crawling uphill the whole way.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing about Friday Night Magic's where you're just doing it, you know, where you're just doing Standard is, you know, if you're going to a Friday Night Magic, you're usually going to win a few. You may lose one, but I mean, at least you're going to usually end up with some matchup that, you know, it's a little bit more randomized. I think Arena getting involved in deck choosing, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to in matchmaking, I should say, I think that's part of the problem, because it's less random. I mean, if I play my mono red deck, I'm gonna end up playing a shit ton of control.
Right.
If I'm playing my ramp deck, I'm gonna end up playing a shit ton of mono red. If I'm, you know, like, it's like And it is. And it's not just, it used to be just best of one where you'd run into that, but now you're running into it in best of three.
Yeah.
Like, I see it more and more in even BO3.
And then also, too, everyone else is playing heavy meta because they're all trying to get to Mythic. Because, you know, for some of them, this is maybe their only shot of maybe getting a piece of the pie as far as professionalism is concerned. Even though now I'm not even sure if that even matters anymore, being top 1,000 in Mythic. It used to matter. Yeah. They've changed competitive play so much as to...
Well, I think they had
Yeah, but it like, doesn't make any sense now. It's like, how do you qualify? Where do you go? I mean, they've changed it literally feels like 5 times in the last 2 months. I mean, I know it's not that, but they've changed it a lot in the last year and a half. I think some of it maybe has to do with the pandemic, but overall, just they've restructured and reorganized and renamed things so many times that this weekend's tournament... that, you know, we'll get to later, the Zendikar Rising Championship, that was actually a Pro Tour, or is that a Mythic Championship, or is that a Players Tour, or is that a Mythic Invitational? What the hell is it called anymore?
I think at this point what they're doing is they are just trying to ride it. Like, and be like, you know what, we're going to call it whatever the hell we call it. All right? We're just trying to stay in the game. You know what I mean? They're kicking the can down the street is what they're doing.
Maybe, yeah.
They're not making long-term plans for this because they're hopeful that with the vaccine that maybe, you know, we could see play happening again by the end of next year.
That's optimistic, but maybe.
You know. Yeah, Steve, I just got a tracking notice too. But I don't know where it's from, but somebody's sending me something. So, Steve's saying that the secret lair for Walking Dead might have shipped.
No,
so.
We'll talk about that later. But I mean,
I got invoiced. I got my invoiced, but I didn't get my tracking.
Going back to to Ikoria. This was a set that really, I think, heralded some of the things that came later in the year. That some of them were good, some of them were not so good. This secret lair is. Kind of related to that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
So Ikoria was the set where they did the Godzilla promo, which I thought was freaking awesome. They had special cards with Godzilla characters on them, but they were actually other, you know, cards that existed in the set. All for One, the actual Godzilla Biobox promo, which the way that they did it basically says that this card exists, they just haven't printed it yet. Ikoria in general as a set, there were some busted things that came out of this set as well. You look at, you know, Luca dominating Standard for a little while with Agent of Treachery.
Well, because of the companion mechanic.
The companion mechanic, yeah. Luca searching up Agents of Treachery. That you had Winota, which was, you know, absurd. And then you had... the companions were I think the real issue that came out of the set. This was, we've talked about this a lot, the companion mechanic and how the idea seemed decent, but this was the first set that they banned a card from a format before the set was even released.
Yeah,
and that was Lutri the Spell Chaser. They banned that in Commander. Before the set even hit print, because they messed up on this mechanic. Companion was way too strong. It got to the point where in Vintage and Legacy, which it takes a lot for a card to break through in Vintage and Legacy, everybody was playing Luris. Everybody.
Well, not just Luris. Yeah, like Yorion.
Luris, Yorion. I mean... You know, yeah. Garuda was big for about, you know, for a hot minute there for
7 minutes.
But I mean, when it was when it was there and when it first hit, we were like, holy crap. You know, Karuga saw some, you know, all the companions pretty much saw play. I mean, Kahira saw a little bit of play briefly. Giganta seed some play. They really pushed this too far to the point where for the first time in a long time, they had to issue functional Erida to the mechanic, where it now no longer works the way it's printed on the card. And I feel that's a major disservice to new players if they happen to get like an Ikoria bundle for Christmas somehow, like somebody gets one and they open up, you know, a Luris and they're like, oh cool, I can slip this into my deck. Oh, by the way, you don't know that this actually now costs 3 mana to bring it from their companion zone to your hand, and you have to do that as a sorcery before you can cast it. So, you know, it's too bad, because this could have been better executed.
Yeah. I don't like the errata. I'm on record of that when they did it. I'm still on record. It was too big of a nerf.
Yeah, because now, besides Luris, they don't really see that much play.
They're useless.
Luris and Yorian still see play, and Giganta to a certain extent, right. But the rest of them you don't see.
I think I still say that the way to do it would have been you draw six, mm-hmm. and you have one, and then go from there, and you go down one for the mulligan rule still. But if you have a companion, you're drawing six, not seven. Mm. Like, your seventh card, you know what it is this card. Like, that to me would have been a much more functional mechanic that would have kept it, it would have kept it relevant without giving you the bonus, mm. if that makes any, you know. Because I think the whole point of it was that they were saying at one point was, you know, this is a card you know you'll be able to play.
Yeah, it gets around hand disruption, which, you know, is great. I think that's one of the benefits of Companion, and that's one of the reasons why I liked it, was that, okay, this is a deck, this card is...
This gets around Thought Erasure, basically.
Yeah, it gets around Thought Erasure, Agonizing Memories, or any sort of discard, and it's one of those things saying, you know, my game plan is built around this card, but I know that I have it. It's right here. You know that it's there, so you know it's coming. So
yeah, that's just it. It becomes a public knowledge.
Yeah, so, you know, your opponent can prepare for it, but... I think the reason that they went the route of adding the mana ability to put it into your hand as opposed to losing one card, they must have felt in, you know, their infinite wisdom of testing, which they obviously do so much.
Infinitesimal, yeah. Go on.
They must have felt that incredible. Losing one card wasn't enough to bring it to a point where it was
but that's
well to the point where it was good but not oppressive, but you, like you said, I agree with you, they went too far, and 3 mana and sorcery speed is too much. I mean, I would have been less upset if it was 3 mana instant speed, so you can at least EOT it,
right.
or 2 mana sorcery speed. 3 in sorcery is just it's right. It's too much. And it's too bad, but again, some of them do still see play, so it's not like it completely destroyed them, but it knocked them down like 8 out of 10 pegs.
And here's the thing. It didn't... And I hear people, and Steve's probably going, yes, here we go. Yeah, Luris was too good, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Steve likes to play hand disruption. So do you. You like to play control. Mm-hmm. But from where I'm sitting, one card that is unavailable to hand disruption, not that big a deal, because... I still need to be able to have other things to cast it, usually. Yeah. It usually was working in concert with something else. And again, you knew it was coming. Usually these were high... Other than Luris, for the most part, these were pretty high, you know, high casting cost cards. Yeah. 5, 4, 6, you know, somewhere in there. So it wasn't like turn 2 on bringing this out and breaking the game.
Yeah, it really broke the game in Vintage, which they then admitted when they were doing this, saying, oh, we don't really test for non-standard formats. And you look, you take...
Which is funny, because it's like...
Yeah, you take one look at Luris and you're like, what the hell are you doing? Moxen, Black Lotus? I mean, guys.
And don't tell me that, because you switched that one card. I mean, you banned it in Brawl before it was released.
Well, that was Commander.
And you banned it in Commander before it was released.
Well, the Commander Rules Committee is not part of what used to be called the DCI, which no longer exists. That was another change for 2020.
Bullshit. Okay, I'm going to call that, because, the Walking Dead Commander brouhaha aside. And again, welcome to the explicit tag. Wow, this is really good beer.
Squirrel.
But the fact is... The Walking Dead rules and things like that, there was no reason for them not to ban those cards, other than Wizards was like, but we won't be able to sell Secret Lair, so you can either do that or, you know, we'll stop acknowledging that you exist and we'll make up our own commander committee.
I don't think that would have happened. You know. I don't think that would have happened.
I think it would. I think it can. I don't think Wizards or Hasbro gives one crap about the EDH Rule Committee. I think they will find a way within the next year or two to bring it all in-house because, again, they don't control it. They like to sit there and say that this was a fan-created format, but they put so much behind Commander this year, like so much resources, so much money, so much product that we're still going to go over, that no, there's going to come a time where these guys are not as quote-unquote bipartisan or that's not even the word I'm looking for, but they're like, you know, an outside agency. They're not. They're Wizards has some say, and they should. It's their game.
Yeah, but I don't think they have as much influence as you think. But I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to completely discount that they don't have a say in how the format evolves.
Again, I think they were, the fan community was pretty adamant that the Walking Dead cards should not be Commander legal. That they should not be Black Border. They should not be in Commander. They should not be, that they can warp Commander. And once the cards get in people's hands, it can happen.
It can.
But the fact is, all right, they have gotten rid of less. But because Wizards is the one putting this out there and that it's impacting Wizards' bottom line, it does lend a certain appearance of impropriety. Whether or not that's what's happening, it is very easy to make the case that Wizards probably said, you ban this and there's going to be repercussions. We're not going to give you guys the promo cards, or we're not. Do you understand? You know, like, I'm sorry. I can't believe for one second that anyone wouldn't have at least considered banning those cards.
Well, I'm sure it was. Sure it was considered. I mean, I'm not saying that they just dismissed it out of hand, saying, you know, Wizards doesn't want us to ban these, so we can't ban them. I think they did consider it. I mean, because this, it kind of came out of left field too.
Yeah. Oh, everybody was.
Yeah, people were floored when this happened. But, I mean, so yeah. I think. Yeah, I know we're jumping ahead, but I think that they really did consider the impact that the cards would have. I think maybe they just need actual data. I mean, it's a different situation than Lutri, because Lutri was an auto include in every single deck. I mean, Rick Grimes is not going to be an auto include in every white commander. You have to have a humans theme for it. Does that mean he's not absurdly powerful? Yeah, he's crazy. You know, Negan's really good. All those cards are good for what they do. I don't know that they're going to break Commander to a degree where it'll be one of those, I told you so, they should have been banned. I think the biggest reason people wanted them banned is because these are basically reserve list cards. They're only going to be available. Yeah. They were only available for that, like, what, 3 or 4 day window. And now if you want one, well, you got to go on the secondary market. Tough crap.
And mine will be here Thursday, but maybe Wednesday.
But I think in other formats, Steve was mentioning that it's played in Vintage.
Right.
I don't think it's a Tier 1 deck. But then again, I also don't know a lot about the Vintage metagame, but they're Vintage legal. And Legacy legal. So, you know, it's
right.
Because they play every card that's printed. But
well, I mean, the other thing about Ikoria that we should talk about is that this was the first time that they married Commander with an actual standard set. Ikoria was the they put four Commander decks out.
Five.
It was the old school style. Five, you're right. $40 a piece. And they were pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll say that. They were
good. They were very good.
I think I have four. So, but yeah, this was the first time again because of the year of Commander. I'm not sure how I feel about it still. I think the jury is kind of still out. I don't think it impacted things one way or another. Other than, you know, okay, so we saw a lot of Mutate. We saw a lot of, you know, we had the Humans deck. We had the Cycling deck. We had Kalamax. We had,
there was the Ultimate.
You know, we had
the Ultimatum deck with Omnath.
Yeah.
That's later on, but.
Yeah, but I mean, it's. It's an interesting thought as far as Ikoria
goes. The Triumphs were good.
Yeah, the Triumphs were good. I'll give you that. But I don't know how I feel about that, because I mean, they changed things up. You know, Core 21 didn't have any commander, but they were the last that had Planeswalker decks. Yeah. But starting in Zendikar Rising, they released two commander decks with the set. Yeah. And these were decent. Not like what we had in Ikoria. Ikoria was a standard commander. It had a theme of Ikoria, but these were more the standard commander precons that we're used to. Zendikar Rising was slightly underpowered of that. Commander Legends was a effing joke. But, you know, I it's an interesting idea that, you know, they married it to this. I don't know how it's going to go going forward. I don't know if Kaldheim has commander decks. Somebody posted it. Yeah,
it's in the Discord. So we have to acknowledge that. But I'm not surprised. I kind of figured they were going to keep doing this. I think they had announced that was going to happen. Kaldheim is going to have commander decks with them too, like they did. It looks like it's going to be like they've done for Commander Legends and for Zendikar Rising, where they're like $20 dollars instead of $40 something. Which, yes, please.
One foil.
Which is fine.
No big card.
Which is fine.
Yep, I'm down with no big card.
It has something that can actually be used as a deck box.
Yep. So, okay. I'm okay with this going forward. So long as, like I said, Commander Legends is pre-con. I don't want these to turn into Planeswalker decks. Unless you're still going to do, once a year, the Mac Daddy Commander drop. Like, where you build a pre-con that's usable in Commander. My fear is that Wizards is now like getting heavily, heavily involved in Commander, and they're going to do what they did with the Planeswalker deck, which is what they did with, you know, the old school theme, you know, decks, which is what they did before, you know, with the, the starter decks. I mean, you know, they start nerfing things after you can do it.
We've kind of seen examples in both directions because, the commander decks for Commander Legends were less than what they had been.
They were crap.
There were still some good pieces for people who were newer to Commander.
There's good pieces, yeah.
Like, for me, there were several good cards that I was like, okay, I need copies of these, so I'm glad that they're there.
Well, yeah, Sword to Plowshares.
Well, I mean, Sun Titan, Ramunap Excavator. I mean, there were some cards there that I was like, you know, Eternal Witness.
Well, no, I'm saying the Zendikar Rising were great. Like, the Omnath deck, Nick is like Omnam with Landfall. Yeah, Omnath is great.
Like I was saying, you know, the commander precons are less powerful than they had been, but they have shown they have the ability to print powerful precons when they do the challenger decks. So it's not like it can't happen. We'll have to see what these decks have to offer. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they were middle of the road, not that great, but at the very least, even if you're a newer player or someone who's been in Commander for a little while, they generally have pieces that you need. If anything, I wish they would improve the mana bases because those are always hot garbage. But yeah. I don't think, you know, we're never going to get like it's not going to be like the Brawl precons where they gave us a Shockland.
Or a fetch. We'll never get fetches.
I would be very shocked if they gave us fetches. But I was, you know, I was happy to get the pieces that I needed from those decks. I might build, you know, off of the two decks that were there, you know, and the sort of reconfigure them and whatnot. But, you know, it's not bad. It could be better, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. So let's kind of pivot off of Ikoria and move to Core 21, which I think the fact that they're not doing Core 22 this year, I think that's telling. I think that this was kind of less.
There were some than good last reprints year. In this.
There's
set.
There's good cards.
The
but,
reprints
yeah,
were
oh, well,
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Lotus Cobra.
No, that was Zendikar.
Zendikar,
Ugin,
right. But
Grim Ugin, Tutor.
Yeah,
I mean, Baneslayer Angel was supposed to be a good one, but you know, it's nowhere near as good as it used to be. You know, Containment Priest,
Azusa,
Scavenging Ooze. I mean, there were some, you know, Massacre Worm. There were some good reprints in this set. I would have been happy to.
And coincidentally, they were all green, blue, or uncolored.
Well, I mean, Ugin was colorless.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean, uncolored.
And Grim Tutor's whatever. Black.
Yeah, I know, but still.
I mean, that was like almost $100 card that they reprinted. So, I mean, I was that was what was, I think, the most the best part about Core 21 for me was the fact that they're like, you know, here's some mythics from the past. Obviously, I think it was a nod again to Commander, saying, all right, we need to reprint some stuff. Here's these. I mean, and reprints aside, there were also some really great cards for Commander. I mean, you know, Teferi, Master of Time was good. Fiery Emancipation is great for the red decks. Discontinuities can be abused. Chromatic Ori, if you're playing a colorless deck, that's a crazy good Commander card. You know, you got your Commander Rin and Sari.
Yeah. I think it just, you know, it was okay. I'm kind of good with them taking a year
Conspicuous
off.
Snoop was a good card for Goblins in Historic.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's still...
Maybe Pioneer 2, it was big in Pioneer as well, I think.
Yeah, he's big in Pioneer. But the Core 21 was okay. Like I said, it was the last time we got Planeswalker decks, and I don't think anybody misses those. You know, those are a good entry. I hope they find some other entry point for newer players, but right now, you know, they're not encouraging paper. So,
well, they can't. So,
you know, because, yeah, so... But after that, you know, there was a few months, and then we hit Zendikar Rising.
Zendikar Rising.
Actually, it was actually less than a few months. I think it was only like 6 or 7 weeks because of everything getting pushed back. Like, Core 21 came out late, and then Zendikar Rising came out on time.
Yeah.
So I don't think we had very long with Core 21 to shake things out before we hit rotation. And, I mean, they couldn't miss rotation.
Right.
So... ZR hits and rotation happens. We lose the Guilds of Ravnica. We lose the Ravnica block. So Guilds, Allegiance, War of the Spark, and then Core 20. Those four fall off. And with that, thank Christ to Teferi. Anyway.
Yeah, but then be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, right. ZR is interesting. It's an interesting set. I think the jury... Again, not having paper. Like, the jury... I mean, Omnath broke it.
Omnath broke it and was banned within 3 days of release. I mean, that's all you have to say about Zendikar Rising is that a card was banned from tournament play. You know, not just Commander, but it was banned from tournament play less than half a week after the, you know, paper release because of the early release that happens on online now. And it's... That card was absurd. I mean, it's like when it was spoiled, people were like, okay, it's the 4-mana Omnath, but Wizards, what the crap? Didn't you learn from Oko?
Yeah, there wasn't anybody that was... This wasn't like Oko where half of the community, half the content creators were asleep on that. Not anyone was asleep. No. We were all like,
that's a lot of text and it's all good.
Hi, I get making commanders and that's obvious what this is. Hi. What?
This thing is it's so dumb. So dumb. I mean, it's so easy to abuse the landfall trigger just with Fabled Passage.
Yeah. And Thassa.
Yeah, you get the triggers, you blink it and get the triggers again. Yeah, it's ugh. There are a lot of powerhouse cards in this set as well. I mean, that seems to be the real theme is that we haven't really dropped off that much since Thornabelle Drain as far as power level. And I think with Zendikar, we sort of came back a little bit in the other direction. Because right. I mean, they're just Omnath aside, there's cards in here that are crazy. I mean, I really enjoyed the Pathways. I think those are really well designed cards.
I do like those as well, and I like the dual.
You didn't like MDLs, them at first,
or MDLs.
You did not like them at first. You thought the Pathways weren't that great.
I'm coming around on them. I'm coming around. I don't play them that much. I won't lie, but they're useful.
They're solid. You know, I mean, and that's what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be a nice solid dual land that, you know. The drawback is basically you're locking yourself into a color, but they're very good. But you know, going back to the multi-armed freak Omnath, I don't know. I hope and pray that when Kaldheim comes out, we don't have another situation like this. I mean, the banning of Omnath, and I think there were a couple other cards that went with him.
Well, Crow Spiral and...
Well, that rotated.
Oh, no, I thought they pre-banned.
Oh, it might have been like... They might have been the Lucky Charm, the Clover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what they did. They did that, and they made sure to nerf Adventures. because that would have busted
yeah,
too.
But I think I'm hoping that we haven't had any bans since the Omnath ban in what was that, September? It feels like so long ago. And
no, October 12th.
Thank you.
Cauldron Familiar, where they also hit, and Escape from the Wild.
So since then, we haven't had any bans, and Standard has had a chance to settle, and it's had a chance to sort of assert itself. And it's, you know, it's diverse for the first time in at least a year, where there's multiple good archetypes that are competitive. It's not just I'm just gonna jam Omnath and or Oko or Uro, and so is everybody else.
Once upon a time, if you're playing green, you jammed once upon. There were I was playing 64 cards with Once Upon a Time. I was like, no, I got 4 free cards. You know, but yeah, it was ridiculous. This is, you know, and that's kind of Standard. So Zendikar Rising did that, and like we said, we kind of talked about Commander and stuff like that with Standards, and yeah, that Landfall deck was great. The other deck was fun. But I want to kind of pivot because we're getting low on time here. I want to talk about the other non-standard sets that came out, because there were other ones. So there were, you know, obviously 4 standards, but they also had non-standards coming out.
A bunch of those.
The Jumpstart. Yeah. You know, Jumpstart is the biggest one. And again, did you manage to get a hold of a 3-pack?
No, I haven't been able to go out since you told me.
Yeah, Glenmont didn't have them either, and I never got back to Amsterdam. Amsterdam had that. Like, so here's the thing, folks. They are showing a backup in Walmart. So Jumpstart's kind of trickling back out there.
Yeah, it's the set that never was.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be print to demand. It was in the middle of a pandemic. They constantly ran into supply issues. The same printers that print Jumpstart were the same printers that print Commander Legends and I think Double Masters. So they had to keep up with that. It was a mess. So yeah, the second wave is finally starting to come in. Like it was delayed in Europe for like almost 6 months.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try to get some more. I mean, I get paid Thursday. Since I'm making a road trip Sunday, I may just pop in at a few places and be like, "Hey, do you have this?"
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping to get my hands on a few more packs, because Jumpstart I think was the best set of the year.
I do too, and I mean I've kept my Jumpstart packs like separated, like I have a box, because again my family really wants to play pre-con. Not that we ever get a chance, but I'm pretty much like, you know, this and Commander would be the two ways we do it.
And there were some really good cards reprinted in the set. I mean, Oracle of Moldiah, Crater Hope.
I will admit, I tore apart a few.
Yeah, I mean, I took...
Like, because again, there's some stuff in there that you have
to
have.
I took the Crater Hoof out of the one pack that I had and put it into one of my Commander decks. But I mean, Oracle of Moldiah is a great reprint. God, what else? There was so much that was in there. Reanimate is in there. There's lots of good reprints in the set. Good new cards, too, like Allosaurus Shepherd, Emil the Blessed. So... Yeah. It's a great set. You get a couple of packs, you smash them together, and you play with it. And it could have been so much better, but they couldn't get their production issues solved in time to really take advantage of the goodwill that the set was sort of bringing out, because it was supposed to be a tie-in to Core 21.
Right. And I can give them a little leeway. Because of the pandemic. Yeah. I can. I got no problem with that. But, I mean, then again, the other side of that is, you know, how much time do you need? And, you know, how much of it is just, and again, kind of screwing the LGSs, you know? And, like, you kind of tend to find these more in Walmart and Target than you do... You know.
And there was also, don't forget, a mystery booster that was released at the beginning of the year.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And that was the same thing.
Which did help the stores.
But it was the same thing, where they were able to get an initial run, but it was right at the beginning of the pandemic, and then just, nope.
Oracle of Moldiah.
Yeah, I gotta get my hands on one of those.
Woodhorn Behemoth, yeah. Like, the green deck is pretty stupid. I did get a Muxus and stuff. So, yeah, I got some pretty cool stuff. I mean, dude, I did open... I mean, these are all my jump starts. So,
yeah, but I was able to get a hold of like
I've opened quite
4
a few.
Or 5 packs. That's all I was able to find.
Yeah.
And that was a few months ago.
Well, when we were on our vacation, the Walmart up in Saranac Lake had it. And I was just like, nope. I grabbed all of them.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. You know, so I'm big on Jumpstart. I'm hoping it makes another impact in 2021. And I'm hoping that they maybe refresh it a bit. I'd like to see a refresh.
Well, I think they said that was what they were going to do, is that they were going to sort of redo it, you know, and update it as it goes along. But I'm hoping for more of this print run so we can have more of this print run.
Well, and then Double Masters was their other major set this year. Again, we're done making Masters with Ultimate Masters. Except we're not done making Masters. I don't know how to feel about that. On one hand, I dug it. I liked getting two rares. I liked getting, you know, the option of maybe getting two mythics. I didn't appreciate the collector booster mayhem that, you know, the $100
that was
ultimate
so
booster
stupid.
That was so dumb.
And plus, because, you know, you can get absolute garbage in those packs, like the professor did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was bad.
I mean, it just, you know, we had better luck with Zendikar Rising, the collector booster boxes we opened. I mean, we both opened some fetch. We both opened, you know, we had a lot better, the box topper. And that's how I think they should do it from now on. It's like, you know what? Every set.
I think they're going to be doing this. Toppers. I think they're going to be doing that for the foreseeable future. I think the one that they skipped, the reason that Commander Legends didn't have a box topper was because that set was finished in development and production before they decided to put box toppers in Zendikar Rising.
Before ZR. It was actually supposed to come out before Rising,
yeah.
I think. Or right
something
around
like
that.
Yeah, it got delayed, but it was done before they decided to put box toppers in. Otherwise, it would have had a box topper, and I would have been like, great.
Steve, I think you're wrong on that. I think they want to try to find a way to keep the randomness of fetches, but they're okay with kind of crashing that market a little bit because, again, fetches are essential to anything you're playing in Eternal. Like, you need it. You really do. I have a feeling that the Wizards is going to... And so by making it box toppers, they're saying, hey, no. See, we're still instituting a randomization to it. It's still random, but, you know, they have to, you know, do that. I think that I could see them doing
that. I just
more
wish they
that.
Would reprint the them in a reasonable and meaningful way. Because they're not...
I hate to say it.
Well, they're not...
I wish they put them in standard.
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll ever put them in standard. But,
I know they won't.
You know, put them... They're going to be in boosters next year. At least, I think, the enemy ones. But they need to bring down the cost of these cards. They need to. Because they're not reserve lifts cards. They're obviously needed. Soul Ring back in the day used to be a $50, $60, $70 card. I remember back when Soul Ring was super expensive, but now it's in every single pre-con for Commander.
And Steve raises a very valid point. If we don't have paper Magic until late next year, fucking put it in standard now.
Well, it's too late,
like,
now.
Stop the press. I know, but stop whatever. Put it in there now. We don't have the shuffle problem. Like, I wish. I thought Double Masters was good. I don't think it was too much of a misfire. I think the price point was wrong, but I think the Masters, period.
Yeah.
Like, I think they charge too much on that stuff. Because you don't charge that much for Commander, and some of the reprints you get in there are far more powerful.
Yeah, I think $14 a pack is way too freaking much. $7 a pack is pushing it, but I'm okay with it. But that's about my ceiling.
The other big release was, obviously, we kind of touched on it, was Commander Legends. And I'll tell you something. This set was not worth the wait. I've thought about it. I've really given it. I don't think
especially
it was worth
the size. It's a 718 card set. It's gigantic. I mean, that's obviously, you know, with alternate frames and alternate arts and all that.
Yeah, I feel that
there were a couple of good reprints.
Commander Legends, yeah. It was not worth the wait. It was not what... I mean, it was what they promised. But I think the fact that we can't do drafts safely... And I understand. And there are stores. And again, you know, rule number one of Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club. I'm not going to put anybody on blast here. But I know of stores that are doing drafts, that are doing events underground.
Right.
Again, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not saying hey nor way. However... There is no way to do draft safely, and yet Commander Legends was designed really for drafting.
Yes, it was designed for drafting, and, you know, they obviously can't help the pandemic, and it was way too late for them to change how the set was put together.
Right.
There were some good chase cards in the set. I mean, Vampiric Tutor, Mana Drain, Scroll Rack. Yeah, there's some good stuff to be had. A couple of the newer cards are really good. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, unless it's one of those rares or mythics, you're like, all right, I mean, unless you're playing like a Pirates deck, it's not, you, there's not really a whole lot there for you.
I think they could have, here's the thing. Arena's going to be your digital platform going forward. They could have programmed Arena and said, okay, now we're going to dip our toe in Commander. Now, obviously, we're not going to have full-blown Commander. We just can't yet. Or full-blown EDH. We will have Commander. Well, and Commander is a different format.
No, it's the same.
D Commander or DDH or well, something. You know,
Commander like, and EDH are the same format.
You know, yeah. Call it Arena Commander. Call it, you know, or something. But it's, say, all right, Commander Legends, we're calling
they have Commander in Arena. It's called Brawl.
Commander, you know, we're going to code Commander Legends. We're going to code the Commander decks going forward. And we, as we build into Historic and Pioneer and we work toward that, we'll make sure that Commander staples from those sets get put into the, you know, to the remasters. That would be smart, you know? And I would have liked to have seen that. You know, I would like to have seen, because I think then we get the experience with Commander Legends of drafting. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the last thing that was released was Commander Collection Green. Did you get a copy?
I did not. I'm going to try to get one this weekend when I get paid.
Be prepared to pay about $80.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm going to try.
So, don't get the premium. If
my wife is listening, I'm totally not getting this. But if my wife isn't listening,
don't get the premium version either.
No, my wife's listening. I'm totally not getting
it. Do not get the premium version. It's $250.
Shut the hell up,
Aramis. I didn't get that. I did not get that.
I know. Shut up, Aramis. Because all she's going to hear is $250. She's going to think I bought the $250 no matter what I show her. Oh, yeah, that's the $250 version, isn't it, you son of a bitch? It's Christmas. You took gifts from the mouths of my children. I can hear it now. Never mind the fact it's my birthday. Christmas Day is my birthday. No. Actually, she's probably going to buy me an Apple Watch, so I should stop bitching.
There you go.
Yeah, you should.
But in any event, I mean, I think I would have liked to have seen Commander Legends on Arena for drafting. You know, and I think then we could have experienced something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's on MTGO, so.
Yeah. And now, finally, and here's the thing, Aramis, we're at an hour now. We're not going to touch main two. We're not going to touch combat. So, finally tonight, we're going to call an audible on this. We'll, you know, Brad won. He played Historic with a controlled deck against Autumn Burchette and a Mono Red. And it was fun to watch, and you definitely should go
find it. I was rooting for
Twitch,
Autumn.
Because it was actually, yeah.
I was rooting for Autumn. I wanted them to win.
So was I. And I noticed, by the way, something interesting. They started calling her.
Yeah, I guess they're okay with that in certain things. I mean, because my...
Yeah, I thought they wanted to be called they. So it actually struck me. I'm like, you're misgendering them.
I don't know.
And then I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying misgendering. I have a white beard. I shouldn't be saying these words. But in any event, moving backwards. So again, we're not going to do combat, guys. This is pretty
part
much
one of two.
I
at should least.
Have known that this would. Yeah. I want to talk about the secret lairs because holy shit.
Yeah, which
balls.
One do you want to talk about? There were a ton.
And again, explicit tag. yeah. Like they went off the rails.
Yeah. I think if this wasn't a pandemic year, I don't think I would have really complained as much. I mean, and full disclosure, I only bought two of them.
I only bought one. I only bought the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I
almost bought the Bob Ross lands. I was thinking very seriously about the Bob Ross
I was
Ross
thinking
lands.
About the Seb.
And then I'm like.
I was thinking about the Seb McKinnon one. I did buy the Walking Dead. I did buy the Extra Life Secret Lairs. Those are the two that I got. The rest of them. The other 30 of them I did not buy, especially the Ultimate Edition. God.
Yeah, the Ultimate was just... And now they're making another
Ultimate. But that one's just going to be the Pathways.
Yeah.
So that's not Ultimate to me.
And yeah, I do agree with you. Steve saying in the chat that Bob Ross was a miss not making
They
the
should
four
have
cards.
Been four.
I'm going to go out on a limb on this, Steve. Bob Ross was amiss by not putting it in a set so you can have play sets. The fact that I would have to buy 15 of these things if I want to have 15 of the color, which is usually what you want in almost any color. That's the miss. I feel like Bob Ross, these lands should have been put in a set that I can open. That's a part
like
of
some,
the pack.
Some of the secret layers. I like what they're doing. The fact that they're experimenting with card frames, they're experimenting with art, they're experimenting with different, you know, different things. The Walking Dead was an experiment that failed. I mean, I love the metal one, the shred harder one.
Yeah, it's different. It's you know what? And people are very mixed on
it. I like it.
They're like, it doesn't look like a magic
card. It doesn't.
Card. And I agree
it doesn't,
with that.
But it looks cool. You know, and I think I think if they do this again in an upcoming set, or like maybe like the collector booster versions of them are like this, that would be interesting.
I don't like secret lairs.
Overall, I don't like them either.
I'm going to come out and say it. I don't like them because it bypasses the LGS.
But there
again,
is no secondary market.
We are a friend to the LGSs. Yeah.
There is no secondary market.
Yeah. It bypasses the LGSs. The fact that Wizards is selling them directly means Wizards is getting involved. Wizards is getting involved in card creation, card secondary sales, direct sales. They are setting the price point, even though they don't have an MSRP, but you're setting the price.
And if
so
you notice,
there is an MSRP.
If you notice, like especially with one of the first ones, the Bitter Blossom one, it priced out to basically be what Bitter Blossom was selling for at the time.
Exactly. So the problem I have is that Wizards, again, it's a problem. Now, there are rumors out there. Some of the content creators I listen to have been talking because there was an article put out last week, like, right after we got off the air, with the possibility that somebody postulated that perhaps Wizards is going to be sold by Hasbro. Okay, first of all, I'm going to say that that article, and I read it, is speculative, it's postulation, it's clickbait, in my opinion. They don't have any real hard evidence. They didn't talk to anybody at Hasbro or Wizards saying, yes, we're trying to find a way to sell Hasbro or sell Wizards. Because what they're suggesting is that Wizards wants to move away from the collectible card game and the D&D, the tabletop stuff, to stay more towards the board game and things like that, which is what they're famous for. I don't discount that.
It's not impossible.
I'm not saying that that's possible. That's not possible. However, I can't operate on that thought process because there is no evidence of it. There's certainly, you know, you could certainly put dots together to see that maybe it could be that. You know, the 500% increase that was talked about last year that they're trying to do. Like, we want a 500% profit increase in 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. And it seems like, you know, the way that they're doing so much to kill the long-term, you know, stability of this game for the short-term gains. But I think that just might be corporate America, period. But the secret lairs, and that's what's the reason I bring this up, is that somebody was postulating that that was part of it. Like, they were trying to, Hasbro was trying to up the value of Wizards by selling cards that go directly to their bottom line. Horseshit. Is basically what I think. I just don't like secret lairs because, again, it bypasses the LGS and it puts Wizards in this position of messing with the collectible market.
When they announced go ahead.
Yeah. No, by setting prices, setting numbers, selling a product like The Walking Dead that's going to only be, you know, available through that, et cetera, et cetera.
When they first announced secret lairs, and they didn't say what they were, I was hopeful. I was hopeful that, you know, okay, I kind of had a feeling it was going to be like reprints and things like that. I'm not sure exactly what I was hoping for, but it wasn't this. I feel like there are, you know, and we'll probably touch on this next episode. There's way too freaking many of them, first of all. And a lot of them are underwhelming, I guess is the way to put it. And then the ones that I was, you know, that I would be interested in, if they really were supposedly not paying attention to the secondary market, the Ultimate Edition wouldn't have cost $300.
let's put it this way. You put it best. There were 32 since the end of 2019. Yeah. There are 52 weeks in a year. That is, on average, about one every week and a half.
Yeah, and granted, you know, a couple of them came as clusters at the same time. But right, and I think they're trying to do fewer of them next year. They're going to do more of the groupings. But it's just, oh God, it's just way too freaking many.
During a pandemic year?
Even without a pandemic, it's too many.
Yeah, I do think it's too many. I think secret lairs are, that there is a problem. And I don't know how to fix it because I don't think it goes away.
No, this genie's out of the bottle.
If they routed it through the retail chain, like they're going to do, I guess the Ultimate Box 2 is going to go almost exclusively through the retail.
That's what they did with Ultimate 1.
Who knows the amount? Yeah, but again, the Ultimate Edition, the first one, what did they get? Two boxes?
It depends,
boxes, yeah. A retailer?
And they said, oh, we'll make sure that they get more of them, and it's going to be less than the first one. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. So instead of $300, it might cost $279. Ooh, thank you for the huge savings, Wizards.
And I'm not, well, I think they know because they're standard lands that are pretty much available, and, you know, that even the alternate arts are not that high.
Well,
the Ultimate Edition,
the appeal of the,
they can't charge more than 50.
No, I don't know. The appeal of this Ultimate Edition is that it's going to be the 10. All 10 of them are going to be Kaldheim art themed. Or at least these 6 are Kaldheim art themed. The other four that are going to be introduced in Kaldheim, those four in the Ultimate are going to be Zendikar art themed. So if you want it, you can get a playset of all Zendikar or all Kaldheim. So that's how they're kind of spinning it. But I'm like, I mean, they're good lands, but I'm not interested in this secret lair.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy it.
No. Well, that was Wizards. That was Wizards' mantra all year, though. Don't forget, this product isn't for you.
Right. He's looking for the wire and he can't find it because
you made him sad.
So, that's kind of our year in review part.
What a year!
what a year! 2020. There was a ton of product. Our combat was going to be: do we think there's too much? And that's something I think we can address at some point. I think we're going to both be in agreement, though. I don't think it would have been much of a combat. I think we both would have said that they were flooding the market with their own product. I think if I was to go the step too far, it would be Secret Lairs and maybe Commander Legends. I think they could have pushed Commander Legends off until next year.
I mean, there were a lot of good products, but it's just there were too many good products. And I don't want, that doesn't mean I want bad products. It's just there's too much good stuff, and it's like you can't keep up. You cannot keep up. That cat's freaking adorable. I can't help it.
Isn't he awesome? So, with that, I think, you know, unless you've got something else, we might as well just hit it, you know. Because, again, we're already 11 minutes over.
No,
so,
I think we can, you know, we can pause this for part two.
End step. All right. So, guys, we really enjoyed tonight. Thank you for watching. You know, as we start our end step here, and Aramis and I are, you know, packing up our playmats and putting the cards back in the box and throwing the pizza boxes out because, damn it, your mother still does not work in this game store. We want to remind you that we both stream Arena as often as we can on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planestalkers podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
And I haven't been streaming much in the last couple of months because of, you know, life reasons, pandemic and related and all that good stuff. But when I do stream, I'm usually on the Planestalkers podcast, but I do have my own channel. It's RMECWRX. So look for me there. But again, Planestalkers podcast is where I'm going to be most of the time when I'm streaming. I'm hoping to pick that up at the beginning of next year. We'll see how the next couple of weeks go.
Well, maybe you get a job and then you won't be able to.
Well, there's also that. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Right.
I was going to say, you know, if that's where you can find me on Twitch. But if Twitter is more your speed, you want to follow the show that way, you can look for us at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
My personal Twitter is at WRBenson, but I mean, listen, I don't tweet very much. I tend to be there to just follow the artists I really care about. Like lately, you know, it's my favorite musical artist, Anne Murray. That Canadian songstress is just amazing. You know, can she have this dance for the rest of her life? Absolutely. But of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. Like and follow our page there. Don't forget, it's not Planestalkers, it's Planestalker, because some idiot took the Planestalkers. Or if you'd like, you can also interact with us on our Discord. You can locate that at discord.planestalkerpodcast.com.
And finally, if you want to send us an email, there are multiple ways that you can reach us. If you want to send an email to the show in general and just, you know, ask a question about the show, maybe you have an idea or a question about some, you know, maybe a rule in the game or something along those lines, you can send one right to the show at podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. But if you want to email either one of us personally, you can hit Will. His email address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to talk to me personally,
spelled with two L's.
Yes. It's Aramis, Aramis, @planestalkerspodcast.com.
Okay, and we want to remind you that we have now a Planestalker Podcast Network. And right now we have one other show. It grew out of our Commander Playcast. It's now called Commander Craft. They are a full-blown podcast. They're redoing their first episode. It should be up any time. I know they recorded Sunday. Basically, you can find them very easily. They're out on the web at CommanderCraftMTG.com. Look them up on Twitch, CommanderCraftMTG on Twitch. Facebook, I think they're CommanderCraftMTG. Like, it's pretty much they got lucky and could use CommanderCraftMTG on everything. So even their Discord is CommanderCraftMTG, or I'm sorry, discord.commandercraftmtg.com. I also want to remind you that I host another podcast that deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. We are on hiatus. We will be for the foreseeable future. I don't think they're coming back till at least maybe the summer, maybe the fall. But we do stream over there Flashcraft, which is playing Minecraft with them. We're just finishing up the Legion of Doom. We're going to start the Batman. We're going to start Wayne Manor in the Batcave. Just love to have you check it out. And the cat's dancing on the... If you're looking at the Google Doc, Erebus, the cat's dancing on it.
I see this.
Check out the Return of
awesome.
Esper. So check that out. It's at Legends TV Talk on Twitter and Facebook. When I stream there, I tend to stream on our channel anyway, so feel free to follow us there. And also, we want to remind you to leave us an iTunes review. If you really want to help the show and you can't do the Patreon thing, we understand that. You really could help the show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, if you don't have an iPhone or you're not an Apple person, I totally get that. However, podcasting is really an Apple thing. I mean, other stores have the review thing. But really, if you want to help the show grow and become something bigger than it is, leaving us a review there is really the best way to do it. Leave us a 5-star on there. And if you don't have an iPhone or anything, download iTunes to your Windows computer or Apple Music on your Mac. Log in and... Jeepers, he's just going nuts, this cat. log in there and leave us a review. We really, really would appreciate it. We read them all on the show, whether they're good or bad. So you can get your name in print. So with that, I want to thank you guys. I have to get out of here because this cat's killing me. We want to say thank you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. We know we went a little over, but it's really kind of cool that we did. We got a lot of information out there, so I hope you dug it. We will be back in 2, maybe 3 weeks. It's either going to be 2 weeks or 3 weeks on Monday, but we will be doing Commander Craft, the Playcast all the way through. So, you know what? I'm going to take that whole thing again. Let's do this again because the cat is just eating my hand. All right.
He loves you.
And on that note, we want to thank you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight. We know we went a little over. We appreciate it. We will be back in 2 or 3 weeks. We have to kind of decide that. We'll let you know on our Facebook and Discord with the regular podcast. But we will be doing the Playcast this Wednesday, next Wednesday, and, you know, every Wednesday maybe. We'll let you guys know there as well. But for Aramis Perez, we want to say thank you again for listening. Thanks for indulging us this year. And we want to remind you to keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.